This is Caregiver's Compass, an uplifting podcast all about the ins and outs of caregiving for a loved one. Tips, tricks, true stories, and experts. It's all here on Caregiver's Compass. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Caregiver's Compass. My name is Stephanie Muscat. I am a registered social worker and psychotherapist. Please note that this episode is not the act of psychotherapy.
We get a number of topics from people on social media and previous listeners of the podcast. And the one that came up today was a really interesting one. I saw it a lot when I was working inpatient in the hospital. And this person is looking on how to care for their aging parent who has poor health habits and does not accept support or believe that they can change. It sounds like this parent was very resistant to any input or what the child was trying to put into place. And this is a really interesting one. There are two parts to this. So I'm first going to talk about a person who has the capacity likely to make their own decisions and they're choosing to live at risk or they're not believing that anything will change in their life. This can happen for a broad spectrum of reasons, and it can be anywhere from cultural, generational. Perhaps this person just believes that their life is at a place where they just want to enjoy what they're doing. They don't think anything is going to be different. It depends on the complexities of change and what change you as a caregiver are believing needs to transpire. But the truth is that we cannot force someone who is capable to make decisions that we are believing is in their best interest. As frustrating as that is, and trust me, I have been there myself. I know how frustrating this is too, but we cannot force someone. We can't. And capable adults are entitled to make their own decisions, even if they are bad decisions. People have the right to live at risk. People have the right to make their own choices. And there's only so much we can do to change that. Once they've made up their mind, they've made up their mind. Of course, we can provide them with resources and evidence to show them that change can possibly happen, that there are ways to make change, that we can give them supports and guidance and all of the things so that change can be possible. But they may still decline. And this is so hard, you know, not to mention the emotional component of it. It can cause a lot of arguments. It can cause a lot of frustration in ourselves because we feel like we're running into a brick wall over and over again. I know what you need. If you would just listen to me, this could change. And then your life trajectory could change. Your health can change. You can live longer because ultimately as a child, you want your parent to live a healthy, long life. And so when you see that they're making these decisions, it can feel like they're not trying or they don't want to live longer or they're ultimately leading to their own demise. And that can be true. It can absolutely be true. So what I'll say in this situation is that it's very, very hard to see this and the resistance is real. And I see a lot of resistance from parents also because parents don't necessarily like it when their children tell them what's right. Parents don't necessarily like it when they've lived for X number of years and all of a sudden their child is coming and saying, you're making bad decisions. I need you to change this, right? I can imagine my own children coming up to me and saying this to me. I would say, excuse me, I'm your parent, you know, can you stop? So off the bat, parents are resistant to their own children stating these things to them. So one technique can be you try to get a sibling, a friend, someone else who sees the need for change to come in and speak to your parent because they are usually resistant to children. That's true. And see if that changes the dynamic and see if that changes the perspectives of things and if they might listen in that case to that person or take their consideration into perspective. But if that doesn't work or it's not an option, you know, and you've had calm meetings because yelling matches, screaming matches aren't going to result in change. But if you've had calm meetings, you've tried to explain things, maybe you've written an email, you've given them the resources to show them, allowed them to take a look, and it's still not changing. Sometimes the alternative of us trying to change and force something on someone who doesn't want to change is that they ultimately have to decline and they ultimately have to either go through life with the decisions they've made, or one day they may turn around and say, you know what, I'm realizing I do need help. And it's hard as the child because you could have prevented things. You could have mitigated things. Perhaps you see what's coming. You don't want to be involved in a crisis. You know how much care might be needed as an alternative. You know how much this would shape the situation if they would just change something about what they're doing. But they may not want to, and they may not do it. And this can be true of the home they live in. Maybe they live in a really large house and they don't want to downsize. And you know that they, as they get older, their mobility can change. They can fall down the stairs. They may be overweight. And you know that if they change some of their life habits, that perhaps they can change their blood sugar levels. You know, they can change the trajectory of their cardiac status, etc. Maybe, you know, their insulin levels aren't where they need to be. So many different considerations here. And it's really easy for us to say as an external observer what needs to be changed, but we also don't always see what their perspective is and why they are resistant. You know, for example, I know of someone who had a parent who was living in a large home and all they wanted them to do was move to a condo because they said, you know what, you're going to fall down the stairs one day. We're going to have to pick everything up. We're going to have to move everything. This is going to be so hard. You're at risk here. Go to a condo, meet other people, you know, you live alone. So why wouldn't you downsize? And this person kept resisting. And it wasn't until a lot of thought, you know, I don't think that the parent ever came forward and said this, but a realization ultimately with this person was that the parent was attached to the home because their partner and family grew up in the home and they lost their partner and they lost their family. And other than this child who was around, who no longer lived with them, this house carried a lot of memories. And by moving out of this house and going somewhere else, it was a reality for them. It was a final thing in their life to say, you've aged now. What used to be your life is no longer your life. This is the next chapter in the book for you. And they were resistant to that. They didn't want that. They wanted to live in that life. And frankly, they have the right to do that if it is unsafe. You know, if nothing has happened thus far, they can hold on to that. If that's all they're hanging on to, that is their right. And as a child, I can also appreciate why it was meaningful for this person and really important for this person to have their parent move. But at the end of the day, this parent said no. Now, at a certain point, if a parent is not safe and they seem to be at risk, their life is at risk, or they're making really bad decisions that could impact their life. For example, they're leaving the stove on, which is a huge safety hazard, or they're forgetting, you know, to lock the doors at night, et cetera. You can have a capacity assessment done depending where you live. It might be conducted by a physician or other trained and licensed individual who is able to conduct these assessments to determine if they're able to live at risk, right? If they're capable of making these decisions, because that can change the narrative. And sometimes this is a murky territory because sometimes there's no cut and dry answer. Sometimes a capacity assessment has to happen more than once because it's hard to take someone's capacity and ability to make their own decisions away. And a clinician has to be pretty sure in that moment, because capacity can fluctuate, but in that moment, a clinician has to be pretty sure that this person is not capable of making those decisions. But if you are at all concerned that this parent or this other family member may not be capable or may not be making the right decisions, and there could be a cognitive change or a physical change impacting their ability to logic things out or problem solve or engage in reasoning, you can have a capacity assessment done. And if this person is found incapable, then you will actually, you, the substitute decision maker, the power of attorney, if there is a power of attorney in place, will be able to assert those decisions and make those decisions. So there is a lot there. And ultimately, we do have to take a step back, as hard as it is, as much as we know that this person could be so much better off or they are at risk if they're capable. There's really nothing else we need to do. And sometimes they do come and ask for help. I have seen this happen where they realize, you know what, you pulled away. There's no more resistance. Sometimes, you know, there's those stubborn individuals in our lives. I would be like this too, where if someone is arguing with me, I'm going to argue back. And it's when we put up that resistance that they just want to fight, like they defend themselves and they say, no, no, this is my life. This is what I have left. I'm going to hold on to this. When you step away is when they suddenly say, oh, I have no resistance. Maybe this is an issue. Maybe I can't do this anymore. And that can happen too. But at the same token, if this person is struggling and they're coming to you to manage everything for them, you have just as much right to say, listen, I can't do all of this for you. This is why I'm telling you that change needs to happen. This is why I'm telling you that you need help. And you're constantly saying, no, but I can't be the one to do it, right? You have the right to set your own boundaries if they're setting their own boundaries and they're not willing to engage with you or come up with a mutual solution if that solution is seen as beneficial from both sides. So that would be my answer to that question. Thank you so much for suggesting that topic. I think it's one that is very relatable. And keep your topics coming. I want to give you the episodes you are looking for. And I'll see you next time on Caregiver's Compass. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Caregiver's Compass. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. Your ratings and reviews help more people like you find our podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share this episode with someone you think would love it. I'm Stephanie Muscat. Have an uplifting day, and I'll see you next time.